98. Talk at Church of the Messiah. 1st September 1912. Montreal, Canada. From Stenographic Notes. God the Almighty has created all mankind from the dust of earth. He has fashioned them all from the same elements. They are descended from the same race and live upon the same globe. He has created them to dwell beneath the one heaven. As members of the human family and his children, he has endowed them with equal susceptibilities. He maintains, protects, and is kind to all. He has made no distinction in mercies and graces among his children. With impartial love and wisdom, he has sent forth his prophets and divine teachings. His teachings are the means of establishing union and fellowship among mankind and awakening love and kindness in human hearts. He proclaims the oneness of the kingdom of humanity. He rebukes those things which create differences and destroy harmony. He commends and praises every means that will conduce to the solidarity of the human race. He encourages man in every step of advancement, which leads to ultimate union. The prophets of God have been inspired with a message of love and unity. The books of God have been revealed for the upbuilding of fellowship and union. The prophets of God have been the servants of reality. Their teachings constitute the science of reality. Reality is one. It does not admit plurality. We conclude, therefore, that the foundation of the religions of God is one foundation. Notwithstanding this, certain forms and imitations have been persistently adhered to, which have nothing to do with the foundation of the teachings of the prophets of God. As these imitations are various and different, contention and strife prevail among the people of religious beliefs, and the foundation of the religion of God has become obscured. Like beasts of prey, men are warring and killing each other, destroying cities and homes, devastating countries and kingdoms. God has created his servants in order that they may love and associate with each other. He has revealed the glorious splendor of his Son of Love in the world of humanity. The cause of the creation of the phenomenal world is love. All the prophets have promulgated the law of love. Man has opposed the will of God and acted in opposition to the plan of God. Therefore, from the beginning of history to the present time, the world of humanity has had no lasting rest. Warfare and strife have continually prevailed, and hearts have manifested hatred toward each other. The cause of bloodshed and battle, strife and hatred throughout the past has been either religious, racial, patriotic, or political prejudice. Therefore, the world of humanity has ever been in torment. These prejudices are more pronounced in the Orient, where freedom is restricted. In the 19th century, the nations of the East were restless and in a state of inner commotion. The darkness of imitations and forms had enveloped religious belief. The people of religions were in constant warfare, filled with enmity, hatred, and bitterness. In the midst of these conditions, Baha'u'llah appeared. He proclaimed the oneness of the world of humanity and announced that all are the servants of God. He taught that all the religions are beneath the shadow and protection of the Almighty, that God is compassionate and loving to all, that the revelations of all the prophets of the past have been in perfect unity and agreement, that the heavenly books have confirmed each other. Therefore, why should contention and strife exist among the people? As all mankind have been created by the one God, we are sheep under the care and protection of one shepherd. Therefore, as his sheep, we must associate in accord and agreement. If one single lamb becomes separated from the flock, the thoughts and efforts of all the others must be to bring it back again. Consequently, Baha'u'llah proclaimed that inasmuch as God is the one heavenly shepherd, and all mankind are the sheep of his fold, the religion or guidance of God must be the means of love and fellowship in the world. If religion proves to be the source of hatred, enmity and contention, if it becomes the cause of warfare and strife, and influences men to kill each other, its absence is preferable. For that which is productive of hatred amongst the people is rejected by God, and that which establishes fellowship is beloved and sanctioned by him. Religion and divine teachings are like unto a remedy. A remedy must produce the condition of health. If it occasions sickness, it is wiser and better to have no remedy whatever. This is the significance of the statement that if religion becomes the cause of warfare and bloodshed, irreligion and the absence of religion are preferable among mankind. Baha'u'llah has declared that religion must be in accord with science and reason. If it does not correspond with scientific principles and the processes of reason, it is superstition. For God has endowed us with faculties by which we may comprehend the realities of things, contemplate reality itself. If religion is opposed to reason and science, faith is impossible. And when faith and confidence in the divine religion are not manifest in the heart, there can be no spiritual attainment. According to the teachings of Baha'u'llah, all religious, racial, patriotic and political prejudice must be abandoned, for these are the destroyers of the real foundation of humanity. He has announced that the religion of God is one, for all revelations of it are based upon reality. Abraham summoned the people to reality. Moses proclaimed reality. Christ founded reality. Likewise, all the prophets were the servants and promulgators of reality. Reality is one and indivisible. Therefore, the prejudices and bigotries which exist today among the religions are not justifiable, inasmuch as they are opposed to reality. All prejudices are against the will and plan of God. Consider, for instance, racial distinction and enmity. All humanity are the children of God. They belong to the same family, to the same original race. There can be no multiplicity of races, since all are the descendants of Adam. This signifies that racial assumption and distinction are nothing but superstition. In the estimate of God, there are no English, French, Germans, Turkish, or Persians. All these in the presence of God are equal. They are of one race and creation. God did not make these divisions. These distinctions have their origin in man himself. Therefore, as they are against the plan and purpose of reality, they are false and imaginary. We are of one physical race, even as we are of one physical plan of material body, each endowed with two eyes, two ears, one head, and two feet. Among the animals, racial prejudice does not exist. Consider the doves. There is no distinction as to whether it is an oriental or an occidental dove. The sheep are all of one race. There is no assumption of distinction between an eastern or a western sheep. When they meet, they associate with perfect fellowship. If a dove from the west should go to the orient, it will associate with eastern doves unhesitatingly. There will be no attitude of unwillingness, as if saying, "You belong to the east, I am from the west." Is it reasonable or allowable that a racial prejudice, which is not observed by the animal kingdom, should be entertained by man? Consider the prejudice of patriotism. This is one globe, one land, one country. God did not divide it into natural boundaries. He created all the continents without natural divisions. Why should we make such divisions ourselves? These are but imaginary lines and boundaries. Europe is a continent. It is not naturally divided. Man has drawn the lines and established the limits of kingdoms and empires. Man declares a river to be a boundary line between two countries, calling this side French and the other side German, whereas the river was created for both and is a natural artery for all. Is it not imagination and ignorance which impels man to violate the divine intention and make the very bounties of God the cause of war, bloodshed, and destruction? Therefore, all prejudices between man and man are falsehoods and violations of the will of God. God desires unity and love. He commands harmony and fellowship. Enmity is human disobedience. God himself is love. Baha'u'llah has announced that inasmuch as ignorance and lack of education are barriers of separation among mankind, all must receive training and instruction. Through this provision, the lack of mutual understanding will be remedied and the unity of mankind furthered and advanced. Universal education is a universal law. It is therefore incumbent upon every father to teach and instruct his children according to his possibilities. If he is unable to educate them, the body politic, the representative of the people, must provide the means for their education. In the Orient, women were degraded and considered subordinate to man. Baha'u'llah proclaimed equality of the sexes, that both man and woman are servants of God before whom there is no distinction. Whosoever has a pure heart and renders good deeds is nearer to God and the object of his favour, whether man or woman. The sex distinction which exists in the human world is due to the lack of education for woman, who has been denied equal opportunity for development and advancement. Equality of the sexes will be established in proportion to the increased opportunities afforded woman in this age, for man and woman are equally the recipients of powers and endowments from God the Creator. God has not ordained distinction between them in his consummate purpose. Baha'u'llah has proclaimed the adoption of a universal language. A language shall be agreed upon, by which unity will be established in the world. Each person will require training in two languages, his native tongue and the universal auxiliary form of speech. This will facilitate intercommunication and dispel the misunderstandings which the barriers of language have occasioned in the world. All people worship the same God and are alike his servants. When they are able to communicate freely, they will associate in friendship and concord, entertain the greatest love and fellowship for each other, and in reality, the Orient and Occident will embrace in unity and agreement. The world is in greatest need of international peace. Until it is established, mankind will not attain composure and tranquility. It is necessary that the nations and governments organize an international tribunal to which all their disputes and differences shall be referred. The decision of that tribunal shall be final. Individual controversy will be adjudged by a local tribunal. International questions will come before the universal tribunal, and so the cause of warfare will be taken away. 50 years ago, Baha'u'llah wrote epistles to the kings and rulers of the world, in which the teachings and principles revealed by him were embodied and set forth. These epistles were printed in India 40 years ago and spread broadcast. Briefly, by the promulgation of these principles, Baha'u'llah has caused the prejudices which afflicted the people of the Orient to disappear. The communities which have accepted his teachings are now living together in the greatest love and harmony. When you enter a meeting of these people, you will find Christians, Jews, Muslims, Zoroastrians, Buddhists gathered together in perfect fellowship and agreement. In their discussions, the greatest spirit of tolerance and friendship has supplanted the former hostility and hatred witnessed among them. I have visited America and find everywhere the evidences of just and equitable government. Therefore, I pray God that these Western people may become the means of establishing international peace and spreading the oneness of the world of humanity. May you become the cause of unity and agreement among the nations. May a lamp be lighted here which will illumine the whole universe with the oneness of the world of humanity, with love between the hearts of the children of men and the unity of all mankind. I hope that you may become assisted in this supreme accomplishment, that you may raise the flag of international peace and reconciliation upon this continent, that this government and people may be the means of spreading these lofty ideals in order that the world of man may find rest, in order that the good pleasure of the Most High God shall be attained, and his favours encircle the Orient and Occident. O thou compassionate Almighty One, this assemblage of souls have turned their faces unto thee in supplication. With the utmost humility and submission, they look toward thy kingdom and beg thee for pardon and forgiveness. O God, endear this assembly to thyself. Sanctify these souls and cast upon them the rays of thy guidance. Illumine their hearts and gladden their spirits with thy glad tidings. Receive all of them in thy holy kingdom. Confer upon them thine inexhaustible bounty. Make them happy in this world and in the world to come. O God, we are weak, give us strength. We are poor, bestow upon us thine illimitable treasures. We are sick, grant us thy divine healing. We are impotent, give us thy heavenly power. O Lord, make us useful in this world. Free us from the condition of self and desire. O Lord, make us brethren in thy love, and cause us to be loving toward all thy children. Confirm us in service to the world of humanity, so that we may become the servants of thy servants, that we may love all thy creatures, and become compassionate to all thy people. O Lord, thou art the Almighty, thou art the Merciful, thou art the Forgiver, thou art the Omnipotent.